It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's Thursday, February 17th, 2017, and as always say, Lord ain't making another one. This is the only day we have. This right here is the day that the Lord has made. This one, not yesterday, not tomorrow. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you can sit around, you can be all down in the dumps. You can be sucking on your thumb. You can be worrying about all kinds of stuff, or you can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God we have this day. I woke up this morning. Both of my eyes work. My ears work. My teeth. I got my teeth fixed the other day. They're working. Look at my fingers. I'm raring to go, man. Have I got some aches and some pains and some other stuff that's bothering me? Yeah, but the Word tells us, rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. So that's what we're going to do. Got a little bit different program today. Well, hopefully it'll be a real blessing to you. Pastor Wayne Martin from Harmony Baptist Church in, I forget the name of the town, Wayne, Frankfort, Indiana. Got to know Wayne over the last, well, through the huddle. Gotten to know him over the last few months, almost over a year now, I guess. And he's a pastor who preps. That's kind of rare, isn't it? Pastor that preps. So we want to expose you to a little bit of that today. And here's what I want to come from, folks. Listen, I don't want this to be a doom or gloom thing. You know, we can sit around, we can complain about nuclear bombs going off. We can worry about terrorists setting off bombs. But the truth of the matter is, if your mind won't go there and you just can't believe that would ever happen, all you got to do is talk to my friend Sarge up there in Maine, where they've got 2 feet, 3 feet of snow on the ground, or the people out in Oroville, California, where there's a flood maybe going to, that dam's going to burst. Natural disasters can come at any time. But you would be, you Bible lovers out there, you always talk about wars and rumors of war and pestilence. Well, the scripture says that we're going to be seeing this kind of stuff. But I don't want to be a doomsdayer. I'm not a doomsday prepper, and I don't want you to be that either. We want you to be aware, not to be ignorant of exactly what's going on all around us, how vulnerable we all are. I don't know about you, about everybody in the town that I live in, about everybody, shops at Kroger's, about everybody. And if something happened that everybody ran to the store, Kroger's ain't going to last very long. It just isn't going to last very long. There's 3 days food supply. There's the food that's on the shelf. There's the food that's on the way to the shelf. And there's the food that's still in the factory. 3 days supply of food. So we don't have to worry about the Russians coming or about the Muslims coming. We just have to be concerned about natural disasters, things that could happen. So if you're little, you don't want to get into the tinfoil hat, all that stuff. Well, still be cool, because what we're going to give you today, I think, is going to be very, very valuable to you. And before we get there, I want to take you to the scriptures, which we always try to do. I want you to go to Matthew 25. Jared, if you can pull that up for us. I want to show you that there's a scripture reference for what we're talking about here. And, man, I'm biting my tongue because I want to talk about what Trump did to the press yesterday. But I'll save that for another day. That was a masterful thing to watch. That was amazing. It's an amazing thing to watch. It's like I was up there. It's like Rich was up there. It's great. Throw caution to the wind. Who cares what they think? He went at him good. I'm in Matthew 25, verse 1, and it's just going to be a very, very short little scripture. Jesus said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." All right? They that were foolish took their lamps, but didn't do any prepping. But the wise, they took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. They prepped. Then while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, There was a crime. Who knows when it's going to be midnight, right? We don't know when that moment's going to be, that midnight hour. That midnight there was a crime made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, hey, can we have some of your oil? Hey, can we have some of that food? Hey, can we have some of your water? Hey, got any of this? Hey, you got any of that? Can you give us in some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out? Verse 9. But the wise saying, nope, sorry, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy it for yourself. Boy, oh boy. Jesus told us to be preppers. Now, that doesn't mean that you turn your house into a into an armory. Turn your house, although weapons certainly are important, but we're not going to really get into that kind of stuff right now. Before I bring Wayne up here on the queue, I want to play just a real quick little video. Here's what I think is one of them. Despite weather disasters, which can happen at any time, right? They had a tornado down in Louisiana again, right? We see stuff, natural disasters are going to happen maybe a lot of different places. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about is the grid going down through something called an electromagnetic pulse, an EMP. And this little five-minute video just shows you what an EMP is and why it would be important for you to be able to be prepared. Now, think about this. You went shopping. My wife wanted to go to Goodwill. She loves to go to Goodwill. Drives over to Columbus, goes to Goodwill. It's about a half hour. If something happens over there, an EMP strikes, her car doesn't run, nobody's cars are running, is my wife going to be able to get home? Do I have her prepped to be able to do that? Say, Coach, this kind of stuff sounds kind of scary. Yeah, it does. Hell's scary. We don't like to talk about hell either. And so we want to be wise versions here and be prepped. So let's, Jared, go ahead and roll that little five-minute video that I got there. And we may not watch the whole thing, but I want you to get an idea what an EMP is here.
Mr. President, we have a national emergency.
Nuclear weapon atop a ballistic missile has been launched from a freighter off the coast of the United States. The weapon is not designed to kill Americans, at least not directly and right away. Instead, it is meant to unleash EMP, an electromagnetic pulse that destroys electronic devices and power grids. The single explosion unleashes electronic waves a million times more powerful than any radio signal on Earth. In the United States, nearly all computers fail. Telecommunications end. Transportation comes to a halt. The stock market's crippled. Bank accounts disappear. Federal officials warn EMP could paralyze America, instantly returning our country to a pre-industrial age. And they say we are utterly unprepared for it.
If you think about the effect of an electromagnetic pulse, it would be a devastating impact. Not only would the power grid be out, it would be out for probably months, but every piece of electronics that we use, from pacemakers to phones to cars to gasoline pumps to water pumps, would all be fried.
With such weapons, an EMP weapon, meaning a small nuclear bomb, detonated above the center of the United States would literally take down the entire power grid of this country.
Wow.
Plunging us back 300 to 400 years.
An EMP produces damaging current and voltage surges, burning out the semiconductor chip of any electronic device within line of sight. The result of that is a complete shutdown of the electronic system. Were the blast to occur high enough, the entire continental United States would be left with no electric power or the things that depend on electric power.
Medical services wouldn't be available because they needed electric power. Telephones wouldn't work. The traffic lights would stop working. Big traffic jam. Transportation would be shut down. Electronic funds transfer wouldn't work, so you wouldn't get your paycheck. You wouldn't be able to use your credit card. Food stocks would run out very quickly. Everything we know about life today that makes it convenient and efficient would be shut down.
It would mean that we would go back to a pre-industrial era overnight in seconds.
Pentagon estimates show that by the year 2015, Iran could have missiles capable of reaching the east coast of the United States. if the Iranians acquire a nuclear bomb, they might be able to cripple their great Satan even sooner through an electromagnetic pulse or EMP attack off America's coastline. Iranian military handbooks point out the benefits of such an attack, and Russia, China, and North Korea also possess EMP technology.
Within a year of an EMP event, at least two-thirds of the American population would perish from starvation, disease, and societal collapse.
Prize nightmare scenario shows Iran or its terrorist proxy Hezbollah parking an unmarked freighter off America's east coast or in the Gulf of Mexico. They would fire a nuclear-tipped scud above a city like New York, then immediately sink the freighter to destroy evidence of their handiwork. Former CIA double agent Reza Khalili spent time as a member of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps. He says the Iranians have conducted missile tests off of ships in the Caspian Sea that are consistent with an EMP-style attack. We've disguised his face and voice for his safety.
They're going to get to Gulf of Mexico with ballistic missiles, and they can launch one at a moment's notice, and they wouldn't care about the repercussion.
They had a commission that put reports out on this years ago that projected 90% of all Americans could be dead within a year after such an attack.
This is a catastrophic threat waiting to happen, and that North Korea, China, and Russia all understand it and are all working on it.
I was out at a conference near Los Alamos of our country's leading experts. That was one worried crew.
What if everything stopped working? What if you woke up one morning and nothing worked?
No queue!
What if there was no electricity, no telephones, no cars, no running water? What if everything just stopped working? How would you contact your family? How would you live? How long would you live?
The idea that we're going to suddenly be shocked one morning because one of these missiles has a nuclear weapon and does something that dramatically changes America, I think is a very dangerous idea, and I find it very difficult to watch the U.S. government be passive as the North Korean dictatorship continues to develop its capacity to deliver nuclear weapons.
Or what are we working on to prevent it?
Nothing.
We in the West, in the democracies, have a propensity to lie to ourselves, just as we did in the 1930s about Adolf Hitler and about Nazism.
The congressional study EMP report from 2004 indicated potential casualty rates of 90%. That commission was disbanded back in the spring.
We have been kidding ourselves. The North Koreans have been steadily working towards this capacity. The Iranians are laughing at us as they continue to build more and more centrifuges to build the capacity for nuclear weapons. Hamas laughs at us as they continue to fire missiles into Israel.
Okay, so this is an old one, Jared, you can pull that down. This is an old video, 2011. But it's still just as real today. We really haven't done anything about it. Listen, I'm not trying to scare you today, all right? We're trying to open your eyes that these types of things are possible. If all, you know, come on. If a nuclear bomb hits, as Pastor Wayne said, you get in your easy chair, you sit out in the sunshine, you get a cup of tea, and you wait, because there ain't going to be anything that you're going to be able to do about that. But we want to be wise virgins here, and we want to be able to be prepared that if something does occur, we just aren't scrambling at the last minute to try to find stuff. So Pastor Wayne Martin from Harmony Baptist Church in Frankfort, Indiana. Wayne's a good buddy of ours. Take her away, Pastor Wayne, and try to bring some sense to all of us who tend to be sometimes grabbed by fear when we talk about this stuff.
Well, first off, Coach took my scripture of Matthew 25.
I'm right, sorry.
Right after he took my looks. No, it's good to be here today. You know, one of the verses that a lot of people use is Proverbs 22:3, and it says the prudent see danger. They take refuge. They do something. But the simple, they just keep going, and they will pay for their penalty. So we have a lot of biblical examples of, you know, what we ought to be doing. Noah, you know, he kind of had to be prepared. I know God sent the animals, but he was probably doing other things. We have the story of Joseph. Joseph saved a whole nation, not only Egypt, but his own people. Esther, you know, she was risen up for such a time to save people. The 10 virgins. But the 10 virgins, you know, is followed by Matthew 24, where, you know, we talked about the end of times. Then it talks about people not preparing. And then if you'll read the end of Matthew 25, it says you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. What? You fed them, you've clothed them, you've helped them. Well, you have to have that to give something to somebody. So just like the 10 virgins, a lot of people be prepared, half, and half won't. I think in our day and time, that's not even true.
It won't even be half. No way.
Maybe 5-6% of the people are actually doing something, but most are not. Now, you know, Christians, people say, well, brother, why don't you just have faith in God and it'll be okay. Well, you can have faith in God, but why don't you practice some of that faith now? Don't go to the grocery store for the next 30 days. Don't buy anything. Don't do anything. Just sit at your house and say, I'll have faith in God. Well, you know that won't work. If it does work, contact us all.
Yeah, let me know, right?
Yeah. We'll get in on that plan. But, you know, God's given you the ability to work. He's given you the ability to earn money. He's given you the ability to provide for your family. And I think that's the way we ought to go. We ought to provide.
That's wise.
The Bible says if we don't provide for our own families, we're worse than infidels and deny the faith.
Amen.
And so we do a little bit. As you heard in the very beginning, the world's on fire, and it is. I mean, even lost people know that there's something wrong. There's something going on. The video you just showed, I know everybody on the queue knows that Wednesday, you know, we had a Russian ship 30 miles off the coast with an armed missile. It could happen. It could happen at any time. So I just want to give you a few ideas, keep it really simple.
Hey, Wayne, let me jump in here real quickly, because one of the things we do here at Pass the Salt is we run to disasters. You know, Rich and some of the guys, Sarge, we went down to Baton Rouge when there was a disaster down there. I went down to West Virginia. I've been to Hurricane Katrina. I've been to a lot of different places. And I'm telling you, brother, I understand what it looks like when people don't have anything. You know what I'm saying? And people go to bed one night and a tornado comes, a hurricane comes, and all of a sudden they have nothing. And they're before the grace of God go us, right? So we can talk about EMPs. We can talk about all this other stuff. We're just talking about natural disaster that would even come into your area and how devastating that alone could be to you.
Well, I've been trained for the Southern Baptist Convention for that very thing. We went to Katrina, and I saw that very thing, that people, even though they had all kinds of money and they had all kinds of good jobs, they were standing in line for hours waiting for the day's food. And I thought to myself, I'll not do that. I'll go home and start doing better so that I don't have to run out and do something. First off, well, if everybody can just remember to 9/11, what did you do when 9/11 happened? And this is what most people are going to do. This is why we need a plan. 9/11 happened. What did you do? Anybody?
Nothing.
No, we went to TV. We go to the TV.
I got you.
We want to get news. And so I remember taking my staff, and we sit around a TV for like 5 hours watching the same thing over and over and over again.
All right.
But if you're smart, we would have been out doing something. And so I want to say this, when something big happens, and it will happen, even this economic collapse, it will happen. When it does, everybody will run to the TV and they'll want to see the news. You need to have a plan. And we have a plan. I think I sent Jared a copy of that plan. It's very simple. There's about 15 people in our group that we communicate with that if something happens, they have a responsibility. So when everybody's at the TV set, somebody's going to the gas station. Somebody's filling up the car. Somebody's going to the bank and getting money. Somebody's going to Rural King and buying, whatever.
Okay, Wayne, that's up on the screen. Okay. Now, Jared's got it up on the screen if you want to talk about that.
Well, what we did is we sit around with our group and we say, okay, something big happens. You know what it is. If we can communicate, we send a go message out. Okay? We already have assigned that somebody is going to fill up the gas containers. Whoever's at home is going to fill up the bathtub with water just in case water's not running.
Wow.
Somebody's going to Walmart. Somebody's going to Rural King. Maybe you might have some last-minute prescriptions that need filled. Get the walkie-talkies out, other ways to communicate, because we have CBs and ham radios and things like that. we've already made sure the generators are running in case we need it. That's why we're filling up gas. That's why we're getting the cars filled up, because if something happens, we can use the gas out of cars. Get all the money out of the bank you can get. And then we have a plan for everybody in our group how to get home. We have some kids in school. There's already somebody responsible to go pick them up. That's their job. Their job is something big. They go to the school. Everybody in our group has, we call it a bob. It's a bug out bag. There it is. It's got 3 days worth of food. It's got a water filter system in it. It's got a first aid kit in it. Just, flashlight, whatever you need.
Wayne, if they're out driving around and they lose control of the car and they go down over a hill and they're trapped down over the hill, nobody's found them. They got 3 days supply of food there.
Yeah, they got a candle. I mean, they got matches. They got a knife. They got they could live 3 days in a ditch.
Right.
I've got one for everybody in my family. I got all my grandkids. They know when they go out of town, that goes in the trunk. You just never know. Something happens, martial law, you got to walk. They're ready. So my thing is, at least have a plan. When everybody else is panicking, watching TV, you know what everybody is going to do. So my plan is do something with water, because you can't. 3 days, that's about all you can go without water. So you ought to look around you and find out, where would I get water? Well, like I said, you could fill the bathtub up. You can buy bottled water. Bottled water is pretty cheap. I mean, even though it's bottled water, it is cheap. It takes up a lot of room. What I did is I have a water filter system. In case something happens, you just pour water in there, filters it, and you've got something to drink. We've got a couple empty 55 gallon plastic drums. Not only can you store water in that, but once you use the water, if something were to happen with sanitation, you can use that same 55 gallon drum to put stuff in, stuff. Mm-hmm. Won't be pretty, but at least it'll be somewhere not in your house. And then as far as the food goes, I think people always want to say, well, I'll buy rice, I'll buy beans, I'll buy this stuff. Even though I have those things, I don't know a lot of people eating that stuff. let's say I have some beans, Well, if you're old school, that might work. But most kids today, my grandkids not eating beans. I'll just tell you that right now. They're not going to eat beans. You say, well, if you're hungry, you'll eat it. No, you won't. It's a proven fact that if you don't like something, you'll starve to death before you eat it. And so you store what you like. It was like me, if somebody if I haven't eaten for 5 days and somebody brings me tuna casserole, I'm just going to throw up and that's about it. I'm not eating it. I'm just not eating it. We store rice, instant rice, instant oatmeal. One of the best finds, I learned how to can meat. Cause I kind of like to eat meat every now and then. And, then I found some stuff that's, it's kind of inexpensive. I don't want to say really inexpensive. Walmart sells it. It's called Keystone Beef. Now, this is almost 2 pounds of roast beef, and I'll read the ingredients. Beef. There, you got it? Beef. There's no other hidden stuff in there. I use it. You can come home tonight, open that up, heat it up, have a beef Manhattan. You can fix dinner in 10 minutes. I store a lot of these, 100 or so or 200 cans of these things.
What's the shelf life on that, Wayne, you suppose?
Well, here's what I've studied on shelf life. Shelf life don't mean anything. If the shelf life on this might be a couple years, but in actuality, it'd be good in 15 years from now. Because as long as the can is in good shape, and there's no dents and damage to it, the shelf life is for the people that want to sell you the product. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Okay.
I'm eating things that I can myself, beef and things like that, 8 or 9 years ago. It is still just as good as it was when I canned it.
Okay.
So there's bulk things that you can see. We have about 15 people in our group. I can take a half a bag of these noodles that you buy at Sam for $7, country pasta noodles, use half that bag. For $7, I can put this can of beef in there, and I can feed 20 people with no problem for $11. So you're not talking about a lot of money. You're not talking about a lot of money. Vegetables, tried the Canon. It's cheaper to buy the vegetables in the can than it is to can it, because then you got a lot of glass jars. They're hard to move.
And, so point number one, let me hold you up. Point number one, shelf life on the can really doesn't matter.
No, they found food stored in houses in the 70s and opened it up. It was still good. Now, some of the food will lose its nutritional value, but it'll still be food. I mean, it'll still be something you can eat and feel full.
Right.
But you know, most of this anymore, we have headquarters Frito here in town, and you can look on a bag of chips and it's 2 or 3 months out. We've used them 2 years after the date, and you couldn't tell any difference. That's just to protect them. That's not for us. And basically, you go through your canned stuff, and you'll throw it away. Well, you have to buy it again. Well, there's probably a reason for that. They don't want to be sued after, a year or so.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, hey, they're protecting themselves, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So I just do the simple thing. Now I have a lot of food. You know, people buy a lot of freeze-dried stuff. Number one, freeze-dried stuff is horribly expensive.
Need water.
And you're going to have a lot of water. And you're going to have to know how to cook it. So if you don't know, if you just buy a lot of freeze-dried stuff, but you don't know how to rehydrate it, and then you don't know how to use menus to do it, it's very expensive. Now, the cheapest you can get freeze-dried food, believe it or not, is Sam's and Costco's. And you get it online, so you don't have to go look at it. You just type in emergency food, and they have tons of stuff, and they'll beat everybody by 30%. It supposedly lasts, I don't know, 30 years or whatever, but it probably lasts forever. Fuel's another thing, because if you're going to have the food, then you're going to have to cook it somehow. I think propane's the best way to go. You can store propane. It's pretty safe, and I think it'll keep forever. Every cooking thing I have, just like this little cooking stove, these little propane, they're $20. It takes a little can of propane. The bigger tanks of propane, you can get the hose and fill the little ones up. A lot of guys probably have the outdoor cooking things, the turkey fryers and stuff like that. It's all propane. So I plan on doing a lot of my cooking through propane. It seems to last a long time.
You just get the big jugs, Wayne? Is that what you do?
Yeah. You get the 20-pound containers, and then you get the little hose, and you can fill up those little ones so that you can do – I've got little skillets and little one-burner things, and it works pretty good. I think another thing you have to worry about, because you've already tagged me to Frankfort, Indiana, thank you, is –
That's where your church is.
Oh, yeah, that's where my church is.
You don't live there.
No, I live way somewhere else. Probably they call it OPSEC, and that's Operation Security. I know Tim has 7 cows in Oregon right now.
Yeah, he told us that.
Yeah, he told us that. Let me tell you something. When people get hungry, they have a very good memory. Well, yeah, you start, your guts start to growl, and you'll think, man, I really need some food. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Didn't I hear Tim's cows the other morning?
Yeah. He got 7 of them. He invited everybody over. Let's go get some.
He's got some good dogs over there, too.
The best thing to do is really just keep everything to yourself. If you want to help people, you ought to help people.
Wayne, we see very clearly there that the wise virgin said, hey, you should have got your own, right? Wise virgins weren't helping everybody.
I agree, but, if I had church people, and I've told our church people, I've given the church people, our church people, these lists. I've given them ideas. I give them these, and they just kind of look at me and think, well, if I need anything, I'll come to your house. And I said, well,
No.
It's easy to say no, but inside we have compassion. We love people. That's why we do this. And we're Christians, And so I could tell them today, no, but man, if they're standing at the door, I don't have anything, So what I've done is I've come up with a plan. I always buy instant rice or instant oatmeal. Why? Because you don't want to use propane to cook something for 20 minutes. It's a lot faster to boil water, and then 1 minute, it's done. So what we did is we keep water bottles. You can see that little label on there. This is Quick Oats. Now, you can get 2 cups of oats in a water bottle. Well, it's 1:1, so it's 2 cups of water. Boil 2 cups of water, pour this whole thing in there. You got it. I've got another one for rice, and I put 2 bouillon cubes in there in case I want to flavor the rice or just use the bouillon cubes for soup. And these are the cheapest, awfulest things going, ramen noodles. Now, I have totes full of these.
So, Wayne, for us slow guys, explain what's in that bottle.
Okay. This is just instant oatmeal, and it takes 2 cups to fill this bottle. So if you boil 2 cups of water and put this in there, leave it for a minute, you've got 4 cups of oatmeal. Okay? So you could feed a family of 2 or 3.
Okay. Listen, a slow learner here. You dump that out. The bottle's just storing it.
You would boil water in a pan.
Gotcha.
And then pour this in there. Let it cook, turn it off. Let it set for a minute. You're ready. So when somebody comes to my door that didn't prepare, I have these and ramen noodles in a Walmart bag, and I say, here, I don't have very much stuff. Now, my very much stuff is compared to somebody else that has a ton, so I'm not lying. I don't have very much stuff, but what I have, I want to help you. But you have to do me a favor. Number one, you can't come back. I'm going to give you enough to last for a couple of days, but you can't come back and you can't tell nobody else because, if I have people knocking on my door, then I'm done. But I do want to help you because remember, as you said yesterday, if something happens and it's only temporary and we recover from this, you don't want to be known as the jerk on the block.
It didn't help anybody.
Well,
yeah.
You were a Christian. You had a testimony and now you've ruined your whole testimony because you was greedy. And so, that's my cure for compassion is to say, well, I helped somebody the best that I could. I gave them a couple of days so they can go somewhere else or do something else because you're going to have those people. You're going to have those people. And I know it.
Let me stop you right there, Wayne. Anybody have a question right now? Because I want to try to take Wayne through systematically a couple things. Anybody pop into your head? Any advice? Anything at all, Sarah? Can't hear you yet, Sarah. You're muted.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, hang on. Yep. See, Rich has started. Oh. Rich has started. Go ahead, Rich. No, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, okay. You want to learn how to make a fire. Because if it goes for longer than a month, 2 months, 6 months, you need to know how to make a fire so that you can boil the water you may find in a not so clean area because you need to boil the water before you can drink it. So you need a ferro rod. You need a flint and steel. You need to learn how to use and work a bow drill, a hand drill. How to have a magnifying glass, but glass, not plastic. There may not be sun, so using a ferro rod. These are things. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, they have classes out here at their little elementary school after school, and I taught a survival class, and I had 22 kids in my class. They all got a bug out bag. They all learned how to fill it, and every week they would bring in things, and we taught them 5 ways to make a fire without a match, and it was really interesting because you know what? They loved it. They loved learning it. They probably went home, burnt their house down, but but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but another thing. I'm sorry. But another thing, you're talking about the propane. After a while, you won't have that available.
Right.
There are biofuel stoves out there that go from 200 on down, and some are even higher. Some are called rocket stoves. We do a lot of bushcraft, which is basically being in a bug-out position out in the woods and enjoying it. You have to learn how to thrive, not survive. So there's companies out there that will and do have little pocket stoves that you use biofuel, such as sticks, twigs, anything you can burn that's wood, because you need to be able to boil water. Because without clean water, you're dead.
Without water, you're dead. Rich, you going to say something?
Yeah, just a tidbit. I got a friend that watches the show regularly and There was a little test done on the ramen noodles. I guess they have oil in them, so be careful, because I guess after about a couple years, that oil turns rancid, and it just ruins it.
Yeah, that's why I give them away. I'm not eating that stuff.
Get rid of this. Hey, Wayne, let me take you right now. Take me to the bug out bag.
Okay.
That seems something that's pretty simple for everybody.
Okay.
Designed to help somebody keep them going for 3 days. What do you got in that thing, Wayne?
Well, I have water filtration. This thing, you could put a pond water in here, and it'll filter out everything that you need. I have several of those, different varieties of those. They have the little life straws. All you do is, you know, you can get them at Walmart, suck right. water through them if you needed water. Toothbrush. I have flashlights, have a knife, duct tape. I have a first aid kit. I have an extra pair of socks, wool socks. It's just whatever you can think. If you're walking along a road, what do I need to last for 3 days? Now, I have a lot of the backpack type freeze-dried food, MRE type peanut butter, crackers, things like that that you can just throw in there, give your energy, candles, matches. I have extra medicines, stomachs, you know, Pepto-Bismol type tablets. You just never know what you're going to need. I have these other things. They're just a little bag like this. It's got 3 days worth of food in it. It's just a little Ziploc bag. See, it's got soup here you can heat up. It's got energy bars, fruit, Slim Jims, pudding. You can just throw that into your bug out bag. Some gum, some cookies, and throw it in there. It's 3 days. If you're walking alongside the road somewhere, and we have alternate ways to get here. My daughter is part of our group, but she lives over in Illinois. We've showed her how to take alternate routes. Don't go through Indianapolis, you know, come a different way. But throw these things in the car in case, you know, somebody shuts something down. You got to walk.
Wayne, for those right now that are, you know, maybe their eyes are being opened or maybe they really haven't done a whole lot. My mind's racing, of course. Are there, do you know of any good online sites, any books and anything like that where people could go right now and find some good information on prepper? You could probably Google it. Probably could.
Yeah. I could reach over here.
I mean, they're going to have to discover this on their own, Wayne, right? I mean, they're not going to get this here in an hour show. They're going to have to do some work on their own to figure out what they need to take.
This is what I did. I got on other sites. And, you know, once you get on one prepping site, it'll usually have a list of all kinds of other sites. Even some of the sites that you're on, Coach, they'll have prepping sites over here on the Steve Quayle and all these other people. They'll have on the left-hand side, they'll have all kinds of stuff. And once you get into one, you'll get some that'll say, here are the 100 top items that you need in case of a disaster. Well, I've looked at those lists. I've got everything but the goat. try to cover all the bases. But people talk about, should you have, you know, I think you said the other day, like precious metals and things like that. Really, I think a can of beef will be worth more money than anything else. I think food is the best investment. If I were going to invest more money, I would just put it in more cans of food. Why? Because if something doesn't happen, I'm still eating it.
Can't eat gold, can you? Can't eat silver.
And let me give you some other advice. You probably ought not to bury any money in a jar outside your yard either.
Yeah, it ended up being kind of a bank for me, you know, but I get you. Yes.
So I would just buy food. Yeah, a pint of booze is like gold too. You know, if something happens to you, you know, I'm a teetotaler. I came from a family of alcoholics. I became an alcoholic before I become a Christian. So I have nothing to do with alcohol because I've seen nothing good become of it. Nothing. But if you were in a medical situation, you'd have to have something. And so, that might not be a bad idea to have something around in case somebody has a bad tooth or something like that. I would just say, you know, if I was going to put my money in something, I'd put it in food because, you know, what would you trade to live another day? If, you know, what would you trade for a can of beef? You know, we may only pay $7 for it now, but gosh, in 2 weeks from now, it could be worth $1,000. You just don't know.
How did you get your group together, Wayne? Because I think it's important that we consider these have to be people that you trust, right?
Yes. One of them, of course, is my son and his family. He lives here. He lives around Frankfurt somewhere. Uh-huh. And he's my gun guy. You know, my son, I don't know where he got it, stray gene somewhere, but he loves guns. I hate him. So he's my ammo guy, my gun guy. I have another guy in my church that's kind of a nut that way too. I taught a class in about 2 years ago in preparedness, going through scenarios, EMPs, you know, earthquakes, whatever. We went through all the scenarios. What are you doing? How would you do it? And these people came to my group. Now, 80% of the people in my group didn't want to do anything. They just wanted information. They thought mm-hmm. it was neat. And that's the way most people are. They want the info, but they won't do anything with it. And I think we talked about this with Russ Dizdar. It's called words without works. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. No. But there were a couple people that were, they come up and say, oh, Brother Wayne, I found this good deal on this. Hey, I saw this today. Hey, I got this the other day. And I thought, okay, that's the person I want in my group. And so I got them in my group. So we have about 16 people in my group because you can't do this by yourself. If lights go out, things get a little crazy, people are going house to house, you can't stay up all night. And if you got your wife, and a couple kids, you're the main guy. You can't do this.
Can't do it alone.
You got to have community. You got to have more. You got to have more than that.
Wayne, we got a caller. Let's see if we can get our caller on the air.
Hey, we got Roger on the line.
Hey, Roger.
No, Roger.
Roger.
Wayne Howard.
Hey, what, Roger? Quit sleeping in.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you.
Unfortunately.
Hey, Wayne. In this tunnel, you were invited back regularly, or would you ever consider a prepper huddle program of your own sometime, where you might take men that are listening a day during the week, but maybe a couple times a month you have a live huddle program on prepping to help us as we try to help others. Would that ever be something that would interest you?
It would interest me, but... you know, it's just there are a lot of people just want information, but they never do anything with it. And I've got other things to do with my time than just – I like doing it. I like talking about it. I have notebooks. I am an information gatherer. I don't know how to do a lot of things, but I can read and I can try it. As Sarah said, with the different stoves and everything else, you know, just because I didn't mention them don't mean I don't have them. But I read things. I'm not a gardener, but I have boxes full of seeds. I have non-hybrid seeds. I have tillers. I have cultivators. I have all those things that I need. God's blessed me to be able to do those things.
Here's my issue. I think of Big Rich. If things go bad, I want to be where Rich is, because Rich can do everything,
yep.
And I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Rich can fix things. He can build things. I can't do any of that kind of stuff.
I can't either.
So as crazy as it sounds, when you're looking for a group of people to hang out with, just like in football, I look for a guy who can run fast and a guy who's big and plotty and can block good. I look for guys with a lot of different skills, because we're going to need all of those skills. So rather than us being paralyzed by the fact that we can't do these things, we need to surround ourselves with those who are able to do it. I can't change oil. You start talking about propane and putting propane in this thing into this thing, I don't even know how to do that. And I think that's probably what paralyzes people into not doing more. They don't know how to do it. What would you suggest there, Wayne?
Well, I didn't know how either, except, you know, I didn't know how to cook. But I could read a cookbook. So I would open up the cookbook and say, okay, I'll try it. Okay, I'm smart enough that I could read this and put that in there. And pretty soon I tried it and I thought, you know what, I can do this. And so that's what I've done step by step. I'm right there with you, Coach. I am not a mechanical person. I'm not comfortable with it. And I know a lot of people. So I usually call somebody and say, hey, you know, that's my gift, knowing somebody else to do something.
That's right. That's important. That's important now to know that. So, that's why I'm friends with Rich.
I got people in my group that, just like you said, they know electricity. They know, you know, if something would happen with a generator. My son's a mechanic. That's what he does. Well, he knows those things. I've got other people that know how to build things, do things, because I don't. So that's what you have to do. You have to build, and you don't want to go too wide, because, you know, that's more people that know more stuff.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure these same people are on board, because if they're not doing what you're doing, you know, my 6 months worth of food just became three.
All right.
You know, somebody knocks on my door and says, hey, me and my family, you know, you have to ask yourself, is this worth the trade-off? You know, what skill do you have that I'm going to give up most of my food for?
That's right. And the 20 people he drags in with him, he tells everybody about it. Now they know where you live. Rich, are you going to say something there? I thought that you were not. Tools, huh? Tools are important.
Yeah.
Hammers and shovels and axes. And because, listen, we're talking about all the – walk into your house, or you're in your house right now, go around and shut off the power. And just ask yourself, man, oh, man, what can I do inside this place?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to share that. What happens if the lights go out? Well, I have a tote. You know, you buy those cheap plastic totes at Walmart, and it says lights out. You open the tote. It's got flashlights. It's got batteries. It's got oil.
That's worth the show right there. That is worth the show right there.
Now, if it says EMP. There's another tote that says EMP. And what would you do in an EMP scenario? Well, here's all that stuff. Here's my radios. Here's my other stuff. That's all in there. What if it's I'm going to sound like Sarah now. By the way, Sarah, love you. I always want you on my team. You scare me. I've got one that says pandemic. What happens if, you know, this breaks out and we can't go out? Well, I've measured every window in my house. I've got that black plastic stuff, duct tape that covers every window. It's already been cut ahead of time. You know, I've already got all those masks, the N95 masks she's talked about. I've got disinfectants. I've got all these other things that I need. What if it's nuclear? Same way. You know, I know it sounds a little extreme, but I got the little, you know, the iodine pill.
So again, Wayne, can you go to – you could go to – certain prepper sites, and you could find specifically what you would need in this situation. Is that the best place to drive people to?
Yeah, that's what I do.
I mean, they're all making notes now. They can't keep up with this stuff, right? But they could go to a particular website, and all of that stuff will be there.
I have a notebook that's huge, and it's divided into what do you do about water, what do you do about sanitation, what do you do about medicines, what do you do about, you know, lights, what do you do about all of these things. And that's all I've done, Coach, is just found somebody who knows more than me, copy and paste, print it out, put it in a notebook. I also have everything on a flash drive. You know, if something happens, you know, I have all my information that's necessary.
Hey, we got our buddy Chad on the line here. What's up, Chad?
To say that, you know, there's some folks that are just beginning to prepare, and it can be daunting, just the stuff, it just looks overwhelming. So you can just start with 3 days, get everything you need for 3 days. Then once you got that, then step back and look at it, and I said, okay, now I got to get that times 10. Now that's going to get you 30 days.
Right. That's a good point. Say that again, Chad. You're going to say, get 3 days? Say, okay, now I got 3 days. I'm going to do this 10 times, and now I got a month's food.
That's right. And then once I've got that, now I can just continue to multiply it. So I can go by 12 times, and now I got a year. So you can just keep adding to it as, you know, as you go, because you just need to take steps at it instead of trying to go. You know, how do you get a mile? How do you walk a mile, one step at a time? So don't. It can be overwhelming because you're like, God, look at all this gear. Look at all this stuff I need. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. And you can put yourself in a financial strain. Make a commitment on your budget and then walk your way to your goal. It's very simple. Just stay focused on what we got to do.
That's great advice, everybody. That's great advice.
We started 7 or 8 years ago. And that's exactly what we did. We'd go to Sam's. We'd just buy an extra this, an extra that, extra this. But we also sacrifice a little bit. Rather than do this on vacation or even go on vacation, this year we're going to buy a pressure canner, we're going to buy this, we're going to do this. And so we, you know, we sacrificed, you know, having some fun and doing some other things to try to keep our family safe. Now see, you know, if you're just now hearing this and you're just now getting started, I don't want to discourage you, but you're way, way late in the game, because you know, I don't know if we have years to prepare. I don't know if we even have months to prepare. There's a lot of things, you know, we talked about yesterday, dragging the carpet out from underneath the president, crash the economy. You got the same problem. Right. You got the same problem, because are you going to go to work for nothing? You know, if the economy crashes, somebody's not going to get paid.
Right.
Well, I'm not going, you know, you're not going to work if you're not getting paid.
So Wayne,
the trucks aren't going to run if you're
That's
not
why it's
paid.
Important. That's why food and water is so important. I mean, people are, you know, they're preppers. They got guns. They got ammo. They got a 10-year supply of ammo. I mean, that stuff's all good, but you can't eat that stuff. And so the immediate concern that people ought to be thinking about is, how am I going to put food and water into the mouth of my family? That has to be our number one concern.
And I think it has to. I think what would really help you is to say, okay, what would happen if something happened immediately? You turn on the TV and there's something coming our way. Okay, what do I need to do so I don't have to leave the house and get in all that mess? Mm. I can survive in my house for a week, 1 week without going outside. Whether
folks, are you hearing what Wayne's saying? You ought to have in your house right now a 7-day supply of food, water, essentials that you do not have to leave your house to get. Because when things break down, if they do break down and it's for an extended period of time, I hate to tell you this, the road's going to become a dangerous place. It's going to become a very dangerous place. And you're going to try to get to your local Kroger's and they're going to be swamped and you're not going to be able to get in there anyway. So after 7 days, things will have calmed down a little bit. Things will either have gotten a lot worse or they will have gotten better, but 7 days, being able to hunker down right where you are, would be a very essential and very wise target that most people would have. Now, Chad said 3 days. That makes sense. So double it. Now you're to 6 days. But when it all hell breaks loose, you're going to know that you can squat right where you are for 7 days and you're going to have everything that you need.
Yeah, I think so. And okay. I think you ought to take some time now to practice with menus. You know, because you ought not to store what you don't eat. So practice, you know, hey, let's try this. You know, once a week, me and my wife eat something out of storage that we would have to prepare.
That's a good idea.
You know, just practice grab a can of beef and do something and say, hey, that's pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Storing eggs and things like this. I had my group and we had egg salad sandwiches one night, and I didn't tell them that the eggs – were 10 months old in no refrigerator when they ate them. You can buy farm eggs and take mineral oil, and all you do is wipe them and set them back in the cartons. You just wipe them with mineral oil. They will last a year.
I never knew that.
And I tested it. I tried it. I dropped them in the water to do the water test. It does work. Now, you buy 10 dozen, you're out $20. After a year, you throw them away and buy 10 more dozen. It's 20 bucks.
Right. Wow.
I mean, you know, 20 bucks is nothing, but you've got 10 dozen eggs that you can eat, you know, up to a year.
Jump in here, Rich.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention there's another huge asset out here in society. You know, everybody wants everything quick and easy and gas powered and battery powered. And so if you go to, you know, for 4 or 5 years now, Carl and I go to yard sales and estate sales, you could, for $30, you can buy a truckload of hand tools. People
right.
want to get away from that old hand tool stuff. And we do it, bring it home, refurbish it, and hang it. And it's not to be used until it absolutely has to be used. And you can buy any yard tool you can think of for $1 a piece.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to go to one of those big factory or big, box places and get them. That's great advice too. Rich, it's just a matter of us developing a mindset towards that, isn't it? And begin to be thinking about it. And rather than us, you know, we right now today, if you started today, you could, as Chad said, you could within 10 days have yourself enough food to last you a month. You could do that without a whole lot of expense. through canned foods that Wayne's talking about. Don't pay any attention to how long it says the shelf life is. When you're hungry, you're going to be able to open that. Hey, if you have an opener, do you have a can opener? Don't count on your electric can opener to be opening it. So you have to have that kind of stuff. You have to think about all those things. If you were camping out, what would I need? And make sure that you have access to all of those things. And as you begin now to prep, begin to do it. You can go, listen, you can go to the dollar store and you can buy beans. You can buy fruit. What's that called? Fruit cocktail. You can buy peaches. It's not even expensive. It's stuff in cans, and you can bring that stuff home and you'll have it to be available to you. It's not hard, as Chad said, to prepare a 3-day meal box at home and then just continue to multiply it.
Yep. A case of any canned good at Aldi's is $12. I mean, a whole 24 case is $12, whether it's fruit or vegetables or anything. Well, that's way down the road. By the way, with the can opener thing, and I'm sure Sarah will agree with me, the prepping philosophy is one is none and two is one, because it's always going to break. And so right. If you get one can opener, you get two, because by the time you
open, one is none and two is one. I'm going to remember that. Yeah, duplicates.
You have to remember that, because if you buy one can opener, you know, and you got nothing but cans, that thing's not going to last open 6 months worth of cans. It's going to break.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
Question about the eggs. Now you're saying you can buy eggs from the store that have been
farm eggs.
Oh, farm eggs. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, once they've been refrigerated, that won't work, will it?
No. Well, no. And you know, we're the only country that refrigerates eggs. We're the only country that does that.
Yeah, I know.
We wash them so many times that it, you know, it messes with them. And that's why you want to buy these unwashed eggs. You just go to, most of you see a sign out there, farm eggs, $2. Say, hey, give me 10 dozen, take them home. And what you do is every month you turn them upside down. Every month you turn them so they don't flatten out on you. And so you just put on the calendar, turn eggs, you know, first of the month, just take the whole carton, turn it over. Take them to the next month, turn it over. And I guarantee you in a year, they'll still be, 10 to months to a year, they'll still be good. That's why I learned how to can bacon, because I'm not going to do it without bacon.
You can bacon?
Yeah, I can bacon.
You cook it and then can it?
No, you can it raw, but the canning of it cooks it. So all you got to do is Google canned bacon, and there's guys who know how to do that stuff, and I've done it, and it works. But I can read.
That's right. Use the internet while we can. Man,
people accuse us of hoarding. You're not hoarding if it's out there for everybody. It's still out there right now for everybody to have.
Right, so that's right. Get it while you can.
If somebody doesn't have it.
You ain't a virgin, but you're wise.
Real quick, Wayne, on the egg deal, 6 months down the road, instead of waiting for 10 months, start using those eggs. Replace them. Don't throw them away, like you said. They're good.
Well, I was just saying, if that's what you did, and if you didn't do anything with them, you're only out $20.
Folks,
I agree, though, because we use them.
Folks, this is Prep 101. This probably came at some of you, maybe your head's spinning right now, and that's okay. But you have access to a computer, and go to the computer and just Google prepping and survival and all that kind of stuff. And don't get bogged down by all the many different gadgets that you're going to find on there and all that stuff. Do what Chad said, 3-day supply of food. That if all hell breaks loose, you don't have to leave your house. You've got 3-day supply. And then double it, and then double it again, and then double it again. And certainly go to the store and buy, you know, those dozen packs of fruit cocktail and peas and corn. Buy those kind of things, of course. But the idea, if we get so overwhelmed that you think that you're going to have to live the rest of your life as a prepper, I'm going to tell you something. First of all, you ain't tough enough to do that. We just ain't tough enough to do that, right? That's the reality of it. You don't have enough guns. You don't have enough gold. You don't have enough silver. You ain't got enough. You got to pray that at some point we're going to get it on the other side of whatever that disaster would be. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to survive and move on to the other side of this thing. So you have to think not long term as much as immediate, short term. And short term being a week, 30 days, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Much beyond that, hey, guys, if all hell breaks loose, I probably ain't going to make it a year. I mean, I got bullets, I got guns, I got all that stuff, but I probably ain't going to make it a year. And most people aren't. So we have to begin in our mind to think about, I'm going to make it a week. I'm going to make it 30 days. And with those I love, I'm going to be able to do that and help others as well. That's pretty much the way I see it. Anybody want to finish it out? Finish us out here. Did I leave anything off or any big tip here at the end?
Well, I do know this. If we're the remnant, we have to be here. And we have to be alive to be the remnant. And if God has left us here, it's for a reason, and it's to probably save other people. That's why we're here. And so you never know how God's going to use you. So don't just give up.
I don't want to be Charlton Heston. Yeah. Soylent Green is people. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
I don't want to be eating people at the end of this whole thing, you know. I want to chew on a few eggs and some stored bacon maybe and some peas before I get to Soylent Green. anybody else for the good of the group here?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of supply sites out there that you can go to.
But I think what Wayne's saying, though, Michael, is there's a lot of stuff right at your local store that you can get. You can just get it yourself. Just be wise as you buy it. Rich?
This same can, you know, it'd be $15 somewhere else, but you can go to Walmart and get it for $7.
There you go. Instead of going to pick your place, wherever, one of those restaurants paying $30 for it, or having a big old steak like Rich made for me last week, I'll go get me some canned food. I'll live like a dog, but I'll be okay, right? I'll be okay. Hey, folks, if we can help you at all, email us. I'll try to connect you with Wayne or whoever, try to walk you through this. Remember, don't get overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
Be a wise virgin and say, listen, I'm going to make it 3 days for my family, then I'm going to make it 7 days for my family, and then I'm going to make it a month for my family. And once you get to that, you're going to be way ahead of the game, way ahead of most people. So we don't want you to think the sky's falling and it's going to all fall apart tomorrow, but it might. It might. We want you to have your wicks trimmed for sure. So, hey, Wayne, God bless you, Pastor Wayne, for joining us. And, folks, we'll see you here tomorrow.